Good Tuesday evening, everyone. Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio, the Double L Show. Show that's so much fun.
You're going to have fun.
We are pulling up in the chat room. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. I almost flatter ourselves to think it was because of us, but I know everybody's here because Woody's going to drop the bomb on a lot of new stuff that Native's coming out with. Echo, I think it's gone now, Andy. Thank you, sound man. Andy in the background checking the sound. Is it still there? No? Anyone? Is anyone listening?
I don't know. I can't tell.
Okay. All right, well, we're going to keep on moving here. So, yeah, Woody will be calling in. Actually, Woody is on the road with Mike from Legacy Paddle Sports. They're both cruising back from the OR show and traveling from the West Coast, where they were showing off all the new products. I thought they were pretty great. So he'll be calling in live via wherever the heck they are on the highway. So hopefully he'll be calling soon. But until he does, we got plenty to cover and talk about. And going to get all the little stuff out of the way. So once Woody does call in, we can devote all the time to him and what he's got to talk about. If anybody would like to call in, ask any questions, the number is 714-816-4727. If you got anything you'd like to ask, share, or even anything in your neck of the woods, fishing going on, any events, whatever it is, feel free to call us. Make sure I say hello and shout to everybody that's listening via the apps, either on their iPhone or Android product. And for all of you later on that catch us at the podcast, we appreciate the download. All right, what we got in the chat room? We got a lot of people in there, a lot of guests. Guests, you can use a Facebook or Twitter account to log in, or late now maybe to create a Blog Talk account. Free also, but log in that way so you can chat in the guest room. Andy Bukowski, Drew Camp, Gator Dave down in Florida. I'll say a shout out to Gator Dave. I was just joking him a little earlier. He doesn't tune in that much anymore, but I was just joking, Dave. Good to see you there, buddy. Speckled Trout Joe's in the house. The whole list of guests there. Welcome, everyone. Kendall. Got Pepe. Hey, buddy. How's it going? Andy English. D. Kaminsky. Got a whole bunch of Florida people here tonight. I hope you guys are having better weather down in Florida than we are here in Virginia Beach today. It rained all daggone days. But it looks like that's out of here, and we should be moving for the week and the upcoming weekend with some rising temperatures. So we'll be good to go. Speaking of this coming weekend, we got a pretty cool thing. One of the few events that I really get excited about, tournament-wise, we searched for a couple other local tournaments, but we have the Club Challenge. I've talked about it in the past. And pretty cool event. It's all the angling clubs in the state of Virginia competing against one another. It's a charity tournament for Catching for Kids, where they raise money to buy Christmas gifts for the needy children in our area. The cool thing is, PKA is the only kayak club. We go against 9 to 10 boat angling clubs. And every year since we started doing this, which is, oh boy, we're probably on our 7th year or so, I think. Every year since we've been doing it, we've never came in last place. Last year we tied for 3rd, so I think this year, once again, we have a pretty sizable team. I think we've got a good chance, once again, to stay up in that upper top 3. Or things go right, I think I'd like to see us bring that trophy home. If we do that, we've got 20 anglers that are going to take turns on keeping the trophy at their house throughout the year. That'd be a pretty cool accomplishment to beat all the boat clubs. But like I said, we've always done well. I've always went with the mindset, as long as we don't come in last place, that's pretty cool. We're in kayaks against all those boats, but we never have. 7th, 5th, 8th has been our average. So, looking forward to it. That's this coming weekend. So, just to all my fellow kayak anglers out there, say a little good luck prayer or rub the Buddha belly or whatever you can to help us out there and keep us in your thoughts on the water, kicking butt against the boat anglers. What else have we got going on? How's the chat room so far, Chris? Everybody behaving?
I wish you'd read your private messages and give me an answer when I send you some.
I just gave you an answer. I have no clue. I don't know people's phone numbers, but modern technology, you just talk into your phone and say call whoever, and they call.
Okay, with that said, I'm going in the bubble. Bye.
Bubble out. All right, well, Chris is checking to see all our callers that just called in. I'm going to run down a couple other things that are going on. Maybe I'll get my North Carolina fishing report out of the way from Philip Tucker with Get Outdoors and Kayak Fishing NC, kayakfishnc.com. Let's see what Philip's got here for us this week. I missed you last week, Philip. We got right into the show, and before you know it, our first hour was up. The hour was up, so I apologize for all that. Piedmont freshwater reservoirs, lakes that have shad are producing good bites, he says, here from largemouth. Similar size topwater and shallow diving crankbaits are working well in the early evening hours. Piedmont rivers, the large river chains are still fluctuating on levels and clarity, but are producing well when conditions improve. Back teams took advantage of these optimal periods and are biting just about anything. Spinnerbaits, cranks, jigs, and flukes, he says, are your preferred lures. You name it, you got it. They all eat except for your 10-year-old tennis shoes.
Yeah,
apparently he must have tried them. That must be in North Carolina. I don't know if you have tennis shoes up here. Then on the coastal side, Philip says, bend your cast net, sharpen your bait knife. You know, I'm kind of agitated down here tonight. Get your luffing rigs ready. The big drum are moving into the Pamlico Sound. Fish in the mid to upper 40s were being caught around Cedar Island this past weekend. Prepare to remember to check the North Carolina rules and regs for the most up-to-date info on leader length, hook type, size, and hours at North Carolina Division and Marine Hook Region. And Phil helped me out on this one because I was drawing a blank earlier. This weekend is the Airborne Anglers Adventures Yak Master Classic. I'm only going to say that once. But this Sunday, August 11th, in Swansboro, North Carolina, you can go to airborne-angler-adventures.com, events and tournaments. They got an event going on down there. We talked about it last week with Jay Brooks. It's going to be a benefiting tournament. So anybody in that North Carolina, Swansboro area, if you're looking for something to do this coming weekend, there you go. You got to inshore tournament down in North Carolina, the Swansboro region. Close to Virginia. Go check it out. And that's all I got from Philip. So thanks again, Philip, which we will be seeing Philip, Chris, and I will next weekend. We're going to be making a trip out to Get Outdoors. On August 16th, I'll be doing a seminar on year-round fishing here in the Chesapeake Bay, Tidewater area. And then Saturday, we're doing a demo day with the store and self-discovery class in the afternoon. That'll be pretty fun, pretty exciting. Chris and I have made the trip out there before to help out with Get Outdoors. There's a great bunch of people at the store. So anybody in the Greensboro, whatever that. Patterson's still on the line, Chris?
Yeah.
What's your little tri-city area there? Do you have a little name for that tri-city area, Patterson?
It would be the Triad.
I was close. So close.
You were close. You were close.
So anybody in that Triad area, or just come on out and see us. What time's the seminar? That's a good question I'm going to ask you. What time do I have to start speaking on Friday night, Mark?
Friday night, 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock at the Get Out Stores right there in the heart of Greensboro. It's right close to the Coliseum. And then
to further bait the people in, we're going to have Krispy Kreme donuts for all who attend.
6 o'clock donuts. All right, now I can see where Phil's fishing with a tennis shoe in his post, too. Okay, that was going on down there. Very cool. But I thought
Joe would like you to know he got 100-foot rope.
I've already got Mark some chain to take back to him.
You got some chain for me to bring back?
Yep, sure do.
Wow. All right. Well, I got stuff to bring to you, too, so we'll all be even.
Hey, question. Should we donate or sponsor an angler in your Fishing for Kids, your event? How does that work if somebody who can't fish wants to sponsor somebody? Is there like a, how does that work? Can you do something like that?
Well, you're the first one that's ever asked. I guess I could give you all the names. You can put them in a hat, pull a name, and kick in the $25 if you want it for the entry fee and or whatever. But that's basically all it is a $25 entry fee for an angler to come to fish the event. And that's it. We kind of take it as a well. First off, the TKA we use it as a paid member. Obviously, you got to be a member in good standing with the club. And we throw it out there, and the first 20 to raise their hand are the first 20 that are picked. And we go from there and put teams together on everybody's weaknesses and strong points. Target the species we can. It's kind of a long, drawn-out thing, but it's basically real quick. It's a pretty cool tournament because it doesn't matter if you catch, and I'll use this example because you're talking to me, a cobia or a croaker. They all have the same point value as the top three fish. So first place in a croaker gets 3 points. First place in a cobia gets 3 points. So you can go out there all day and spend a bunch of money on chum trying to catch a cobia, or you can run around inshore catching all the eligible species inshore and gain a lot of points. And that's basically where we do really well as a kayak angler. We don't try to go out there and waste a lot of time running around looking for fish that we hope are there. We go after the fish we know where they are. And we've always done well that way. So, plus, we have a great advantage when it comes to fishing the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel because we can nestle those little plastic boats right next to the pylons and do a lot of damage with the sheep's head, spade fish, trigger fish, things like that, where the boats aren't allowed to get too close. So it comes in handy. And the other part that's really cool for me, and I'll have to say, and we hear it every year, is the background comments, and I'll go ahead and say it on the air. I don't care, but damn kayakers, we hear it all the time. It's cool, keep getting red, all the voters in the background say, damn kayakers. So, that's even more reward. So basically that's what it's all about. It's a good time. Like I said, in the end, it's a fundraiser, and that's what I think most tournaments these days are, fundraisers, and they should be fun, and everybody should be more focused on the camaraderie and getting out. But then again, I guess I got a little, like I said, personal thing to make sure we do well against the voters in this one. So anyway, I think I've about covered all the upcoming things that I have here. Or we've got a couple other little things maybe at the end of the show. I know Chris said that Woody is on the line. And while he's traveling, I guess we better get him while we can in case he hits a nice little cell phone dead
here, area. Let me hit the promo button real quick. Ready?
Hit it.
Welcome to KayakFishingRadio.com. To submit your local fishing report to be aired on Kayak Fishing Radio and the Kayak Fishing Radio iPhone and Android app, please follow these steps. Step 1, create a Skype account. Step 2, add Kayak Fishing Radio to your contacts on Skype. Step 3, call Kayak Fishing Radio and you will hear a recorded greeting. Start recording after the tone. If you do not have a computer or access to one, you may call in via phone at 404-890-5232. That's 404-890-5232.
I hope everybody didn't have as much trouble hearing that as I did. I couldn't make it all out, but I know that's a good promo for you can call in and push your fishing reports for your region on Kayak Fishing Radio. So, Matt's, I think, in the chat room with us, or maybe he can give us a little more insight on that. Kind of really going the show, but we can hit it again. But a little tough listening to you, a little too much. But anyway, we'll get it straightened out. I couldn't really hear it all. So that's the promo to call in. Tommy V got the phone number right there. But yeah. Yeah, very cool. All right, Woody, you with us?
Yeah, man.
You're not driving, are you? You got Mike behind the wheel?
Yeah, and Mike's behind the wheel right now. We've been switching off all day long. This is our third day on the road after leaving the show. That's a long way to Salt Lake, buddy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure pulling a trailer and a big truck is probably a very exciting trip for you.
Yeah, this is our first experience of going through weigh scales. I have to say it's not the funnest part of the ride.
Wow, so they're keeping tabs on your hours and all that good stuff too, huh?
Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. But
you
hey,
open the
as
door,
far as
you open the truck door at the race scale, and Red Bulls and Monsters come falling out of the truck.
Anyway, it was totally worth it. Show was great. You know, introducing some new product, and people seem to dig them. You know, so that was cool.
Very cool. So, real quick on your road trip, how much further till you get home?
We are cruising into Knoxville, so I think we've got about another 2 hours.
Well, you're doing good. Last I talked to you earlier today, you were in St. Louis.
Yep. No, just keeping it rolling, man. Keeping it rolling.
All right. Very cool. So, we got you on tonight because we have, you have been anyway, putting up a lot of teasers and little videos and all kind of stuff and a lot of new products that NATO's coming out with. I'm sure if any of my other fellow pro staff have been anything like me, every time that Woody pulls it out of the bag there and shows a little flip of something on Facebook, I get about 600 emails and phone calls and all kind of stuff. So I figured instead of having to answer a bunch of questions, we would just go ahead and have you on the air so you can answer all the questions and talk about the new product line that's coming out from NATO.
Yeah, I'll be glad to answer any questions anybody have. I'll tell you, though, the way the show worked out was really cool. And, you know, you never know. You work hard on stuff, and you do a lot of research, and, you know, you get a lot of ideas. And, honestly, some of the stuff came directly from doing the automatic for the people. You know, we showed up with a redesign of the Ultimate, called the Ultimate FX, in two sizes, a 12-foot and a 15-foot, and, you know, caught a lot of attention. It's still a great boat, and people were excited. Dealers were excited that we were kind of given that line of facelift and some few additions to the Slayer. But to be honest, the real hit was that Slayer Propel this week. At the demo, we were, I guess they're putting light companies beside each other. So as a demo, we were right beside Hobie, which, you know, that's pretty intimidating, to be honest with you. But you know, people checked it out. One of the best compliments, to be honest, was actually Greg Ketterman, one of the owners of Hobie, took our boat out. You know, didn't say much when he came back in, but everybody was busy, and then, but the first day of the show, he was the first person at the booth and congratulating us on a fine product. So that was a pretty good way to start the show off, you know.
Well, real quick, so everybody, or pretty much everybody, should be familiar with the Mariner, which is Propel drive boat that Native offers, a 12 and 10 foot or 12 foot model. Can you kind of give us some comparisons and changes and things? Because I know you and I have talked, so I know, but kind of what changes and what's different about the Slayer Propel, the seating, and the arrangement in that, real quick?
Yeah, you'll find, you know, number one, the deck's kind of laid out like the Slayer. You know, the boat's a little wider than the Battle Slayer, but the deck's laid out about the same. If you look at the hull, you'll see kind of it's really a combination of, while it has a lot of Slayer hull, the hull has a lot of Slayer characteristics. You can also see some Mariner influence, like kind of that pontoon action. That is not as pronounced, say, as in the Mariner. And we've learned a thing or two about getting more water kind of flowing up to the prop. So, you know, imagine a Mariner and a Slayer had a baby, and that's kind of what you'll see in the hull.
That's a good comparison.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of both. I mean, if you roll it over, you'll definitely get it. You'll go, okay, I see the flatness of the Slayer, but then I also see that it's not as pronounced a pontoon kind of action, but you'll definitely see it. So,
let me interrupt you, and I'm going to probably do this several times tonight, so be prepared, because questions are going to roll through the chat room. So
okay.
I got a question now. Did the Plano box slots go away on the side? So the Plano storage box side slots on the side of the seat, are they still there on the new Propel?
Hold on. Say that again.
The little Plano storage tackle box slots that are on each side of the seat and the Slayer on the Propel model, are they still there?
No, that is not there. The what's taking up that spot is we kind of have a different seat system. We don't have a high-low seat, but we have a seat kind of mounted on a rail so that it you can adjust the end seams for different end seams really easily. So what that did on the side of the seat was we kind of had to fill that area in, and we kind of changed the way it was steering. So like on the Mariner, the steering lever is kind of like vertical, left, back, right, forward. This is the side rail right beside the seat. It's kind of wide and chunky, and the steering mechanism is left and right, kind of laying flat. And then on the other side, it's really just like kind of a blank space that people can mount different things in. You know, like me personally, I know I've had some people look at it and go, well, that's a good idea, and some people look at it and go, that's a weird idea. But right on the right side of the one that we have, one of the prototypes, I put a flush mount rod holder that's actually facing forward, not backward. So basically you catch a fish and you have a nice cool place to put the rod butt in while you deal with the fish. But so the seat, one of the things that we really worked on a lot is getting you know, we have a lot of people ask, is it going to have a high-low seat? It doesn't, but we worked really hard in getting the seat height where the peddler's hip bone, the hip joint, is more in line with the axle of the Propel. And it's crazy by raising that seat and locking it in there, how much really more fluid and less kind of laid back action we were able to get. So the seat position is a little higher off the deck than the Mariner. But the cool thing is we got some really good accessories. We got a nice underseat storage accessory that I think people will like to kind of compensate for losing that storage area off the side. Kind of a long answer, but we've got some really cool things, accessories coming out as well.
Accessories for the Slayer or accessories in general for Native products?
Anything that really fits that Slayer seat. You know, that Slayer seat is going to fit in, obviously, the Slayer Propel, and that is also the same seat system that will be in the Ultimate FX. So.
Okay. What other changes, some people are asking, like in the Slayer hull, what any other changes to the hull or to any of the setup is there going to be in the Propel version?
Well, again, you know, looking at the underneath, you know, the actual hull, we learned how to get kind of the first thing people are going to realize is it's a really efficient hull for that drive unit. Personally, I think it's the best platform that drive unit's been in, just in all honesty. It's really sleek and fast. I know, you know, Mark Watanabe and some guys, I'd like to make this clear, you know, I think Hobie has a great system. But, you know, when we were on the beach beside them, you know, Mark Watanabe and Adam Hayes and other people were kind of racing back and forth because we were side hobbies. And I have to say, you know, we were pleasantly surprised at the performance this thing was providing people. And you know, it was really fast. It's a speed that you can keep up with a long time, you know, not like sprint speed. Like, and I hate to compare the two companies, but what was happening on the beach that day is that people were like drag racing or doing whatever they're doing. And Hobie definitely jumped out first, like a quick burst, but then was kind of crazy watching the Slayer kind of overtake and honestly able to continue that rate of pedaling. So I really do think that the number one, this platform is the best that we've really come up with for the Propel drive. It's very maneuverable, but it's also just a faster haul in general, you know, that Slayer shape. So it's really exciting.
All right, somebody was asking in the chat room, does the cart or the Mariner work with the Slayer Propel?
With a what?
The cart, you know, the cart, the wheel cart that goes inside.
Yes, it will.
Correct. It will work.
The cart will work.
And another was, how does it paddle as a, you know, like the Mariner's not, you don't want to be paddling that all day. So how does the Slayer?
It's definitely, again, you know, having a more efficient haul definitely makes it more paddleable, you know. If you imagine, like, it would sort of paddle like a Slayer, only a, you know, a slightly wider Slayer. Not a lot wider, but slightly wider. And, you know, what's crazy is this thing is still way more narrow than some of the other paddle boats that are out. You know, like that Predator and the Jackson Big Rig, those things are like super wide compared to this thing. I think that's one of the cool things about it is it's still narrow, stable, and fast. So, you know, I got to say, I just soon paddle it as some of the other products that I saw coming out, you know, that are like super wide. So this is not as wide as some of the paddle boats that were out, you know.
Cool. All right, I'm going to have to ask a question just because it came through the line here a couple times on dollar figures. What's it going to be coming in at?
What's that?
The dollar, the price, the almighty question, how much?
Yeah, retail on is $23.99. You know, so that's kind of like positioned in a good position for, you know, For the product that's available, I think it's really given up a good value. And, it's pretty exciting.
Cool. Well, is there anything else about the Slayer that you can add or tell anybody other than what we just talked about? I personally haven't sat or seen it other than the pictures and stuff, so I don't really have much to go on. Hint, 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 another hint. Anyway.
So, I really didn't catch some of that. I'm kind of fading in and out a little bit, but not really much else, you know. Again, worked on getting the seat height in a more comfortable position. We're super, super stoked on how efficient it is, you know. So, it makes us more excited just to keep doing pedal drives in the future, that's for sure. But it was well received. I think people were really stoked. Definitely the dealers were, and at the beach, it performed extremely well. You know,
I wonder if they're going to hit the street or hit the water.
With all fingers crossed, you know, we should be shipping that October 1st. We we learned a lot in the molding, like the Slayer in general, that shape, the deck shape, some of the steep sides. We had kind of an issue with just getting the Slayer online. Remember last fall, we were kind of making everybody mad and we couldn't get it out. But it was really because of the learning some of the molding techniques that are problems that these walls provided us. So we think we've got that learning curve figured out. So, again, all fingers crossed, and we think we should be able to be shipping that October 1st.
Oh, very cool. All right, you did mention at the top of the show. Go ahead.
What's that? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. What were you saying? I hope I didn't what?
Oh, I don't know.
All right. At the top of the show, you were talking about the Ultimate FX, and you said we kind of went right to the Slayer Propel. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what you've done with the Ultimate Hull and the changes that are going with that boat.
Yep. Well, a couple of things, you know, we wanted, we have an issue of wanting to sit higher, and we wanted to do a sturdy yet in tackling the high-low position of a knee that the Slayer had, and the fact that our molds are getting kind of tired, we decided to redo it. And so we went to online, to Facebook, and basically threw out automatic for the people. And some of the things you wanted, obviously, was a high-low seat. And what we did is we roto-molded a frame that fits inside the hull. And that frame's roto-molded, so it's super strong. And so basically we can then take the Slayer seat that spans from side to side, and it basically has two different positions that the seat would fit in. That also holds some really like Plano box storage areas underneath it. The other thing that people wanted it to be a little more comfortable on the feet and the legs. I know that with even my feet, which are
kind of big, the Ultimate shape was kind of super rounded, and my foot kind of rolled up on its edge a little uncomfortable.
So we made that standing area a little flatter and a little wider. And a lot of folks were asking, particularly for the double, but also the 12, to be able to handle a little more weight, to have a little more freeboard on the side when paddling it. So you'll see that. There's some other cool things, like instead of the rods, rolls, roto-molded, aluminum thwarts, we have some roto-molded thwarts with positioning with, you can attach stuff to those areas. And one of the cool, and those hard handles that everybody seemed to love, we put the hard grab handles on it. But the coolest thing, dude, is how to get the water out. You know, like the dumping of those boats has always been like this pain. Well, we put, per Neil Taylor in Jacksonville, we put a giant drain hole in the bow that actually uses one of our scupper plugs. So draining the Ultimate is no longer a problem.
All right. That would be, the small slot on the side makes it a little tricky at times.
Yeah, you know, but so this will just drain water out super fast and easy. It looks good. And so, you know, again, it's kind of hard to describe all the changes we made to it, but just know that the high-low thing works really good and is, try to work on the floor, making that more comfortable, making the boat actually about everything we did has made the boat a lot more, honestly, sturdy. You know, everything locks in a lot better than we had before. So I think people are going to dig it. Plus, you know, having the backrest up in the high position is pretty sweet in that boat.
Yeah, that sounds pretty. I'm pretty excited about the Ultimate, the new Ultimate myself. The Ultimate's always been a go-to boat for me, so I think having something that I can raise up the seat. I like the idea of where the tracks that you put in behind the seat for adding accessories and stuff like that go for the Ultimate also.
Yeah. There's definitely a lot more rail attachments on the FX. Up on the upper, on the front thwart and behind the seat. So pretty much the same layout, just, you know, things people ask for, you know.
Very cool. And you said that'll be available in a 12 and 15 foot model, right?
Yeah,
on the Ultimate.
Yeah, that'll be available in a 12 foot solo. It's actually, instead of 14.5, we stretched it out to 15s, which actually in the doesn't hurt the solo, but actually helps the tandem a lot, paddle a lot better. So that 15 will come in as a solo or as a tandem if that can become a solo. So, you know, you basically got three boats in one there, you know.
Right. Cool. Very cool. Well, I got a question for you, and it's kind of off topic, but it's not, because I want to know, is there any progress, and are you guys working on the Adventure World Championship Tournament for next year?
Yeah.
What's going on?
You know, as it turns out, we've got some really cool stuff we'll probably announce in the next month. But, you know, we've worked on not only the championship, but kind of a series from freshwater to saltwater in the series. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to we haven't decided if we're going to use these as pre-qualifiers, but we're looking at a freshwater race in actually Arkansas, one on the New River in West Virginia, which will be, that one will be an overnight section for sure. We've got one working down in Louisiana, one in Alabama, and actually the championship's still down in the Everglades. And we're looking at doing one down in Key West. So we've got some folks that are just super stoked to help us in all those locations. So we should be able to announce some dates here pretty soon, but the idea of moving it freshwater was pretty intriguing. Flowing down a river, the New River, is also really intriguing. So, look forward in a couple months to kind of see the final schedule.
Gotcha. Well, that'd be cool. Everybody be waiting on that word. Sounds pretty interesting.
Yep. The Arkansas is on Lake Wachita, that's what it's called. And we've worked on permits at all those places so far, and it's kind of, you know, it's interesting. Ailey, I don't know if you guys all entered it or if you've heard about it. It was basically combining adventure racing with fishing. And as the word spread, we've gotten a lot of people wanting to put them on in their areas, and so we're real excited about it. But in about a month, we'll have it all dialed in.
Cool. All right. Well, maybe we'll have to have you back on in about a month, and we can talk about it once you can release all the information.
Yeah, man. Sounds great.
Very cool. Well, I know you're driving, you're traveling, so I'm going to put it out there for anybody. If there's any questions anybody has for Woody on the road here, so if you got any questions about the upcoming products from Native, if you want to ask, or same thing I missed that you had asked earlier, if you would put it up again so we can let Woody get back the co-pilot in there for Mike and get them two home safely.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Mark.
All right. Well, we'll see if anybody else has anything, but I don't see anything coming up anyway.
All right, man.
So,
well, all right,
you guys,
just tell them to Facebook some questions. If they have them, we'll answer them.
All right, very good. Well, you guys be good. Be careful, and we'll see you when we see you.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye, Chris. Right. Bye, Mark.
Bye, Woody.
Bye.
Bye.
And with that, somebody just asked, what kind of speed does the new Slayer Propel have?
Well, yeah, I don't know, clocking it anyway. I'm sure, you know, Woody mentioned at the top of it, earlier on about the Propel and the Hobie little race that he was talking about. And same thing, not always comparing boats or two different boats, but I guess there are two only on the market that use the lower body drive, if you will, using your legs to move the kayak. The whole thing with the Propel system, for anybody who hasn't used one before, it's not about how fast you can pedal. It's 10-to-1 gear ratio. It's a rhythmic kind of thing. So once you get it up to speed, going any faster isn't going to make it go any faster, if you will. It's all geared just to have a nice rhythmic pedal to it. So once you get going, it just gets on plane, if you will, and you just keep moving forward. Everybody knows that, you know, the one advantage, I will have to say, is always that the Propel goes backwards and forwards. So
Mark,
that would definitely be always a good thing.
Do you know about the battery bag?
That's still going to be inside that hatch. That is going to be on the new Propel. The new Slayer has a couple of upgrades to it, and I believe that'll still be in there because, oh, you know what? It should still be in there. I think it is. I don't know. I'm sorry if somebody asked that earlier and I missed it. We can shoot Woody a message, and I will get the answer and have it for next week's show. Tom Vanderheiden, you asked that, so I will find out for you. Most rickety tick. And get an answer back if I missed that earlier in the show. I'm sorry. So it says it's available on an accessory list. I'm just not sure if it's available with the Propel or if they're asking if that's an accessory that somebody could add to their existing Slayer. Is that the question? Or is the new boat going to have it? I'm not sure. Maybe I'm missing the question then.
That's pretty funny. Completely off topic, but Pepe just wrote, I heard Chad was sending pizza to Sunjammer.
That's funny. Yeah, for every one he sends to Sunjammers, he'll send one back to Nervine to himself.
Extra cheese. Brian just said extra cheese.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and Brad just answered that. You can add to your existing $39 the battery bag retail. Brad right there at Sunjammers Water Sports. He'll take care of you. He's on the line. So there you go, Kendall. That was the question. I'm sorry if I missed it earlier. So, well, very cool. I'm glad that they were able to still call in. I was kind of worried when Woody said he would be on the road. Cell phones are great, but they're not that good at times. And he knows 2 hours are in the mountains now, I guess, traveling. So pretty cool. A lot of new things coming out. I've said it before, this industry is growing quicker sometimes than I think it can keep up with. So companies like Native and other ones out there, they have to keep on their toes because you can't just keep same old is not going to work forever. So I'm pretty excited. I think we got a lot of good stuff coming out of Native. And a lot of it comes from everybody here listening. Automatic for the People is the program that Native started a couple of years ago, and they mean it when they say they want your input, good or bad information. Anything you always want to see or change, that's really how a lot of those books came to be, is exactly from the people. There's a lot of my fellow pro staffers and endorsed guides here tonight, and you know, it doesn't all come from us. They listen to us, but they listen to you guys a lot more, I would have to say, because you're the public, you're out there doing it. So they want to know from you guys too. So as you move along through everything, make notes, let them know what's going on. Nothing's perfect, but they sure try hard to make it the best they can. That's one thing I will say, like the first Slayer, when it came out, it went through 3 prototypes before it really hit the market. And that says a lot for a company that takes the time to go through it and through it and through it. And actually, I had the privilege, I was the paddle the first one with Neil Taylor down in Florida. And the one that came right out of the box, the first prototype, was good enough to sell, I thought. But it went through some more. And this, you know, like I said, means a lot. Let them hear your words about it. They take interest in it, so it doesn't go on deaf ears, if you will. All right. Anything else going on? What did I miss in the chat room there? I was looking over at my notes to make sure I didn't miss anything. I covered all the upcoming weekend's events. North Carolina Report fishing here has really been good. Actually, I got into some trout this weekend, which I was pretty stoked to see some of them on the south side. For anybody locally, you know what I'm talking about. We usually have a better trout population north of the Hampton Roads Bridge Tunnel, but they're starting to show up more on the south side, if you will, and was able to find a couple of them this past weekend. The bridge is still totally alive. Everything's out there, sheephead, triggerfish, flounder bites starting to improve a lot here. That's been kind of our mystery fish all summer. Working in a tackle shop, I don't think there's a day doesn't go by that at least 10 people don't come in complaining about how bad the flounder bite's been this season, but it's starting to improve. It's starting to get a lot better. Big black drum around the islands. A gentleman I know, I can't remember his name, escaped me now. He's caught four, and I mean big nasties, 50s, off the pier at this Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. So just to lift that big nasty up from however many feet down that is, 25, 30 feet, depending on the tide, but there's a lot more of the big nasties out around the bridge. I was laughing because your campus told me there are no trout north of the HRVT. I'm sorry, Drew. I'm sorry. You're right. There isn't any. They're a little more east, northeast than they are north. Anyway, everybody knows where to go. But it looks like people are starting to leave, and I don't blame you. I'm about ready to leave, too. I got to get up early and open the tackle shop. I appreciate everybody joining us tonight. If anything pops in your head that you got a question, we'll just shoot it over to the Native Watercraft Facebook page. They'll get an answer for you there, or send myself a message or an email or whatever, and I'll find an answer out for you. Kendall, I hope I answered that question for you. Get up with Brad or any of your other probably fine kayaks. Dealers around the area will be able to take care of order that bag, and you can go direct through Native to order the accepted reasons. So, sounds like Brad might even have them in stock, so he must be your first round right there. Anything else, Chris? Did I miss anything?
No.
All right. Well, I think we're going to get out of here. Call in the evening, almost 9 o'clock. I appreciate everybody again, as I said, tuning in. Good luck if you go out on the water this weekend, catch them up. Put them back when you can so we can have them for the next time. All my fellow TK anglers joining me, this joining Chris and I should say, this weekend in the club challenge. Good luck to you. We'll see you Friday night at the captain's meeting. Everybody else, Tom Vanderheide, Tidewater Chapter. There you go. Tidewater Howe Chapter will be at the pond. And Smithfield supports the CBWTU muster. Sorry we couldn't help out this week, Tom, with all that. Got jobs got in the way, but good luck to everybody going out there on Thursday. You guys have a good time, as always, at the ponds. Plenty to catch out there. That's it. And his name is Tom Vanderheide. Tom B. All right, very good. I'm done. Everybody take care. Chris, get us out of here.
Tight lines, no matter where you're fishing, and remember, take your children fishing. They are your next generation anglers. With that said, it seems my daughter seems to be getting up there on the freshwater thingy. They're a little sponge. Try to keep them on fish. Make it exciting. They're going to want to go again. Anyway, good night, everybody.